listener production.
US stocks grind higher as investors have the whiff of Easter in their nostrils.
And Aussie shares expected to edge higher on Wednesday ahead of key inflation data.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Wednesday, the 27th of March. Welcome to the Comsec Market Update. Ryan, it's a predictable grind higher, I suppose, in some ways, given the fact that we've still got central bank tailwinds operating as far as equities are concerned. As we speak this morning, the Dow is up by a quarter of a percent, same for the S&P 500, the NASDAQ up by about a third of a percent. Where is your focus at the moment? Are you reflecting on the minutiae of month end, quarter end, or have you pulled back the focus and you're thinking, look, we've had some pretty compelling signals from central banks around the world, be it the Bank of England, the US Fed, have told us rates are coming down. And the risk is you don't own enough stuff.
Well, certainly I think that investors are back in data watching mode. So we've had the US Federal Reserve and a bunch of other central banks, the Swiss National Bank, for example, cut interest rates. Yeah. That was a big thing. And the Bank of Japan lifted interest rates, the end of negative interest rates. So we've had two key events last week. And we did see the S&P 500 withstand that. It hit, well, it has been hitting record highs. It had a very strong week last week, the strongest in 2024. And we saw a bit of a sell-off yesterday. But today, on Tuesday in the United States, we are seeing a recovery there. And as usual, it's being led by mega-cap growth stocks and chip makers.
There's a lot of smoke and mirrors going on, to say the least, particularly when you are looking at the sorts of improvements that we've had over the first 3 months of the year. You've got the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ up by close to 10%. That's the thing that stands out to me. There would be a gravitation towards that double-digit improvement for the quarter, Ryan. How delicious would that look when you're reporting to your customers, shareholders, that you've been able to catch the wind the way that these markets have?
Well, I think you make a good point, Tom. Equity trading has largely been driven by quarter-end positioning by professional investors, portfolio managers, and it's also important, as you suggest, with those double-digit gains. We have seen double-digit gains for two quarters in a row in five instances since 1950, according to Bloomberg data.
It's like
data.
A cricket-type statistic, isn't it?
It is. So that just shows the head of steam the markets have had in the first quarter of this year on the back of hopes for interest rate cuts later this year. And also those hopes of interest rate cuts would then fuel corporate America through higher earnings growth.
And it's such an important point to make, because I suppose the challenge for us as daily observers of what's going on is that you can sometimes lose sight of the magnificence, right, of a central bank telling you that rates are coming down. And that is a very potent signal to the market.
Much hinges on the timing of these rate cuts now. So, as I mentioned, we've seen some central banks already get ahead of the curve and cut rates. Everyone's watching the US Federal Reserve at the moment. June is the expectation. We're still seeing markets pricing in around 78 basis points worth of rate cuts by December. I suggest they're probably getting a little bit ahead of themselves. There could be a reflation flirtation again, as Goldman Sachs are calling it. We'll get the latest US inflation data towards the end of this week, so all eyes will be on that. But of course, we've had some economic data overnight which suggests some resilience in the US economy. So durable goods orders rose 1.4% in February. Markets were expecting a lift of 1%. And of course, they're those long-lasting goods that people buy, white goods in particular. And we did see a decent bump there. Orders for long-lasting US manufactured goods increased more than expected, and business spending on equipment showed tentative signs of recovery. So that could support the US economy into the back end of this year. As it stands, we're expecting to see GDP growth in the March quarter based on forecasts of around 2.1% annualized. Certainly, we are seeing some evidence of an improvement, particularly in the manufacturing sector. Certainly, those corporate bond yields are falling at the moment. That's easing financial conditions, making credit more accessible for borrowing, and that helps spending.
So just quickly on that point, there was nothing to be mentioned in dispatches last night where the bond market's concerned. You had a two-year note up by one basis points to 4.59, 10-year down to 1.2423, so negligible. Let's just quickly have a gander at what went on in Europe. Workmanlike gains, nothing to takes your breath away. But the UK market at its best levels in over a year, up by 0.2%. The French market up 0.4%. The German market up 0.67%. The Stock 600, the broadest measure of European stock performance, up by about 0.25%.
Yes, so we saw the European main benchmark, the Stock 600 index, end a choppy session at a record closing high on Tuesday. It's up 6.7% so far. Encouragingly, particularly for the UK economy, which has been in recession, what we have seen there is grocery delivery service Ocado lift 3.2% after reporting a 10.6% year-on-year revenue increase in its retail division for the first quarter. So that suggests that the worst may be over for the UK economy. They are confronting with a political backdrop of an election there as well, but certainly we are seeing some signs that retail spending is picking up, and the UK FTSE 100 index has been lifting to around 12-month highs.
There was a time that one of the most heavily traded currencies in the world was the Swiss franc, less so the case these days. It has taken quite a decent knock since the Swiss National Bank cut rates last week. It's at a 5-month low. So I think, you know, this is a glimpse into the future.
Certainly, yes, the Swiss franc has been under some pressure since the Swiss National Bank surprised markets by cutting interest rates last week. It's continued to trend lower overnight. And the US dollar's at a 4-month high against the Swiss franc. And of course, that could be a trend that we see with these central banks around the world cutting interest rates.
Indeed. And that brings us to the local picture today, the marquee event of the week, the plat du jour in economic terms. You've got the February monthly CPI figures released today. The expectation is that the annualized pace of inflation in February comes in at around 3.5%. So that compares to 3.4% last month.
Certainly there's an expectation. We see that the monthly headline consumer price indicator lifts 0.3% in February. And to your point, consensus is for a lift from 3.4% to 3.5% in terms of the annualized number. But importantly, the core or trim mean measure, which strips out volatile energy and food prices, that's expected to rebound by 0.6% in the month. That would take the annualized number up to 3.9% from 3.8%. So look out for a once-a-year increase in education prices. We've all felt that pain recently, up 4.6%. Housing continues to lift, up 0.8%, but we could see those travel prices for holidays down 9%. So broadly, this reflation flirtation, as I mentioned earlier, could be a focus today, and that could lead to a bit of a repricing as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned. Of course, the likelihood of a rate hike from here is very, very slim. That said, given what's happened in the past, very keen to be very cautious with their commentary.
It's an excellent point that you make, Ryan. There's a slimness in terms of the prospect of a rate hike, but then, of course, if we get a hotter inflation numbers, then that word stagflation comes back into the lexicon. Of course, that is where you have moderating activity combined with elevated inflation, and most economists break out in hives when that word is mentioned.
They do indeed. But two forces pushing up inflation, retail electricity and gas prices, are about to reverse. We've seen wholesale prices fall, and they'll soon feed through to household utility bills. Lower input costs for small and medium-sized businesses, and that'll help ease those broader inflationary pressures down the line. In terms of commodity markets, just quickly, we have seen the US oil NYMEX price down by 0.4% to $81.62 a barrel. All eyes on the OPEC Plus meeting next week as well. Little change in gold futures prices overnight, up just 80 cents to $21.77.20 an ounce. And iron ore futures fell 0.4% to $110.28 a tonne. In terms of our market today, Tom, looks like it's going to be dominated by the Consumer Price Index. We've got shares of around a dozen ASX-listed real estate investment trusts trading ex-dividend alongside IPD Group, Kelly Partners, Meyer and Reece.
Indeed. The SPY futures are indicating a flat start, up by around 0.1%, and the Aussie dollar has done not that much overnight. It's trading at 65.3 US cents. The biggest day of the week, really, for the local market as we start then winding back for Easter. Enjoy it. We will. We'll join you again tomorrow morning. This podcast is prepared, approved and distributed in Australia by Commonwealth Securities Limited, ABN 60067254399, AFSL 238814. The information does not take into consideration your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Consider the appropriateness of the information before acting, and if necessary, seek appropriate professional advice. Listener.